Amen. If you have the Word of God, please take the Bible and turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, chapter number 5. I couldn't think of a better song to lead into this morning's message. Psalms chapter number 5. Last week we looked at different components of faith and trusting our Lord, because it is the antidote for runaway emotions and fears, bitterness, depression, insecurity, hopelessness. Only the Word of God can bring all those things under His control. And it's not under His control until we apply the Word of God to the strainful measures that we face in this life. In Psalms chapter 5, verse number 11 and verse 12, we will read, beginning in verse 11, "But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. For Thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt Thou compass him as with a shield." God gave us His promises for a reason. Have you ever wondered why God gave us promises? We read the Word of God, but there's something that goes beyond reading, and there's meditation. And any time you see the word meditation, often it is linked to for us being blessed or moving forward or some type of success. And I'm not necessarily meaning financial success, but some type of well-being, a goodness in our life. And if you think about why God has given us His promises, God gave us His promises so that we could learn how to build a relationship with God. God does not need to know how to build a relationship. He already knows. He proved it at Calvary. You see, He gave us His promises so we could build our relationship with Him. Starting first and foremost with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Scripture clearly tells us that we cannot have access to God unless we first come to that mediator. And that mediator is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get that settled, God has given us a vast host of promises in His Word for every need in life. And as I indicated, I was telling the Sunday school class this morning, I have a little bare spot, actually a big bare spot in my front yard where it's just dirt. So I pulled the old dirt out, put new dirt in, and I put some grass seed down and watered it very heavily. And within just a matter of a few days, less than a week, there was a very good stand of grass there. And I began to think about that with the passage of Scripture where Jesus was talking about how our heart is the soil. And if our heart is good, and if it is receptive to God's Word, and it receives the seed, we know there's nothing wrong with the seed of God's Word. And we come back to the thing, if the heart is right, and the seed is great and good, then what's the water? The water is the prayer and meditation that goes into the seed that's been sown there. And if you think about what God promises in His Word, what God is trying to do is build our relationship through Him. That's why we face some of the things we face in life. It's because you will not get to know God in certain ways unless we face certain issues in life. You see, God is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. And God's security for our lives is to dwell in His safety. And to dwell in His safety is to dwell in His Word. To dwell in His provisions is to dwell in His Word. You see, whenever He has promised, we can trust it. Did you ever think about that? Whatever He has promised, we can trust it. A relationship cannot be built on anything but trust itself. And the reason why we have so, I think, weak Christianity today is because some read the Bible, but we come back to claim a promise from God. How many of you have a favorite promise that it is tried and proved for things in your life that God has come through? You see, the psalmist David here says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice." Why did he say you ought to rejoice? Because here's the deal. God comes through on His Word. He comes through. And it may not be our time, our way, but God comes through on His Word. A relationship can't be built on anything but trust. And you see, nothing is more uncertain than building a life of on your own self-confidence and our own sin nature and our own capabilities. Because it's going to lead to a life of failure and heartache and frustration at some point in life. You see, God intends for those that walk in His commands to be free from anxiety, care, and all these emotional turbulent things that we face in our lives. And we noticed before that when we began to believe our circumstances, we began to side with those circumstances because our emotions become enraged with fear or whatever kind of emotion, whether it be insecurity or bitterness or anger, whatever that emotion is, we begin to believe and side with that in our trichotomy. You see, God gave us His promises to chase away the enemy of our own emotions. And I've said last Sunday, we need to start treating our emotions as an enemy that tries to dethrone Christ in our heart. And when we start doing so, we will see that our sin nature is not our friend. It is an antithesis against Calvary and all Calvary stands for in our life. You see, the shepherd intends for his sheep to know his voice and that he is there at all times. That and we are under his protection. We are under his protection. Thank God for those sheltering wings of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it is one of our duties to labor into this rest that only Christ can give. I want you to go to Psalms with me. We're going to be in the Psalms quite a bit today. Psalms 107. And I'm talking to you this morning, point number one, about His promises. His promises. In Psalms 107, verse number 29, the Bible says, I'm going to give you a minute to get there. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves, therefore, are what? Still. Now, who makes those waves still? He does. You see, those waves do not become still and peaceful and calm until the commands or the word of Christ, when Christ spoke, the Bible says when He spoke, the disciples were in that boat and their emotions were out of control, and He spoke, the waves hushed and they went back to a calm. You see, it's not us trying to reason through things. It's not us trying to figure things out. It is putting Christ on the throne of our emotional heart and saying, look, you are Lord of Lords. You are King of Kings. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You command these storms, this storm, my emotional storm, to hush. You see, we oftentimes try to bring about our own peace. And listen, Jesus Christ said in John 15, He says, I leave you my peace. Not the peace that the world gives, but the peace I give you, and the world can't take that away. And what is He saying about the world? He said circumstances of life will try to rob us of His presence and His promises. And Satan, it seems to work overtime. You see, we have to know and put the matter in the hands of omnipotence. You see, when we do that, our entire confidence is placed in God. And we leave the operation of our good affairs in the hands of our Heavenly Father. You see, we have to understand there's nothing going to come into our path that hadn't touched God first. I started preaching a little bit on this the other night. I want you to go to John chapter number 19. There's nothing going to touch our life that hadn't touched God first. And it's amazing. So many people's health is negatively affected because of worrisome anxiety and facing things in life. Now, if you be honest, if you had to stand up and testify before a judge today and say, look, that's me, would you stand? I'm not asking you to, but would you have to stand and say, hey, that's me? And if you worry about it too long, you get a bad attitude. Well, I just don't care anymore. But listen, God don't want us to have that attitude either, does He? You see, in John chapter number 19, Jesus, He just hit the nail right on the head here, like He always does. Isn't He something? Jesus answered, verse 11, thou couldest have no power at all against me. Think of that. He's telling His persecutors here, you couldn't have anything against me unless God gave you permission to do it. So whatever you're facing, whoever you're facing, just know this. Thou couldest have no power. Nothing can have power over God's children. If I'm standing here and my children are beside me to the left and to the right and some adversary came to do them harm, do you think for a moment I'm just going to stand by and let that adversary do as he wishes to my children? Absolutely not. They would trust, I hope, in Daddy's love that He would give all, pay the ultimate price to protect them from any enemy that may be facing them at any moment. You see, this is why David says, let all them that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Why? Because God comes through. God comes through. And Jesus is telling His tormentors here, thou couldest have no power at all. What He's saying, you couldn't harm a hair on my head, much less put a spike through my hands and my feet. Unless, He said, except it were given thee from where?
Above.
Above. Oh, I'm afraid what the devil might do. Listen, the devil's a dog on a chain. And God holds the chain.
Amen.
He said, therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. You see, nothing's going to touch us that God hasn't given the nod to touch us. And we have to understand when it comes to that. This is my next point here. Let's go back to Psalms, chapter 16. We've looked at this word in detail many times over the past several weeks. And whatever God does say, this can touch you. God often puts limits on that. And this is where we must trust in Him. In Psalm 16, verse number 1, the Bible says, what's this word here?
Preserve
who?
Me.
I don't know about you, but I like me feeling safe and secure. I like me knowing everything's all right. But it doesn't, but that's not up to me. It's up to who? God. Preserve me, O God. For in Thee do I trust. God gives His promise so He can prove His trustworthiness. And our faith and our relationship in Him will grow. This word preserve is a word that I've really studied a lot recently. And it simply means to keep safe. To keep safe. That means not only your present, but your future. That doesn't mean only the dangers that you can see, but the dangers that God sees. You see, it means to guard. This is the same word where the meaning of the angels, when God put those angels in the Garden of Eden after man had sinned, and He put the angels there to keep man from the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. And He put those angels there. How many understand what there was not one thing going to get past those angels with the flaming sword? And there's not one thing that's going to get past God's scrutinizing eye with His children. Not one danger. Not one trial. Not one mishap. Not one thing is going to get past Him, because our God preserves His people. Do you realize that if you're in good health this morning, it's because God said no to something in your body. If you got money in your bank account, it's because God said yes to that. Everything in our life is preserved and contained by our God. Everything. And when David said, those that put their trust in Thee should rejoice, he was saying, look, there's not one thing that I face, not one thing that I'm dealing with, not one thing that comes at me, not one blessing that I do have that hasn't come from the hand of my God. And God gives us these promises in life so He can prove His trustworthiness. You see, David had confidence in the Lord's safety. And let's go back to Psalms chapter number 4, and let's look at something here. David again. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But when do you really get most frightful and fretful? I had a relative of mine told me one time, he said, you know, I do all my thinking right before I go to sleep. That's a bad time to do all your thinking. How many of you do that? Yeah. You might not do your thinking at night. You do your thing at night? Okay, you smile like you did. All right. You may do your thinking. As soon as you wake up, you start pondering all your woes and things you face, or sometime throughout the day. But David evidently done a lot of his thinking at nighttime. And so we want to look here at verse number 8. He says, I will both lay me down in what? Peace and sleep. For Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Only the Lord can give us the personal security, financial security, emotional security, physical security that we all desire. And these emotional turbulent things that we face in our lives, you know what we have to do? We have to allow God to be on His throne and say, Lord, You speak to that storm. You speak to my emotions about this thing. Because it's just overwhelming to me what I'm facing. How many of you get esophagitis reflux? Indigestion. Headaches, neck aches, not from other people, but from your concerns. We all have to face things, but know this. I get encouragement from Psalm 105. Let's flip over there. The psalmist here is given a history lesson of Israel. But when he gets to verse 14, he said something here. He says, He suffered, talking about God, He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. Beloved, that ought to give you a lot of encouragement, because I'm going to tell you something. This world puts a lot of credence and homage on powerful, influential people. But I'm going to tell you something. God does not care for a king near as much as he cares for his people. The Bible says, he suffered no man to do them wrong. No man. In fact, he says, he gave kings a hard time just to protect his people. You remember when Abraham went down into Egypt and he lied and said Sarai was his sister? Remember that? God brought this terrible dream onto Pharaoh. You remember that? There was not one thing that God was going to allow. Now, Abraham made a mistake. Now, here's what I'm trying to get across to you. Some of you may be fretful because you made some mistakes. But I come back to this question. Are you a child of God? You see, Abraham made the mistakes. Even though he still made the mistakes, God in His mercy still stepped in and said no to Pharaoh and slapped Abraham's wrist and said, now get back to where you're supposed to belong. Isn't our God good? Isn't His mercy great? Let's read verse 15. Saying, touch not my anointed. Now this is particularly applied to people who have a calling on their life. And you remember David wouldn't do anything to Saul because he knew that if he did something to Saul, it was like doing it to God. Because even though Saul had his certain mistakes and flaws and doing things wrong, David still understood that's still God's man. But do you think that applies to God, people? Absolutely. Because Peter says, you're priests and kings. You're priests and kings. So let's read this for your own. How about that? Saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no what? Harm. No harm. And it just is an encouraging thing to understand. You see, the fear of danger, though groundless, oftentimes, gives such great vexation of our soul and of our spirit. You see, but what faith does, and believing God's promises, and believing in God's preservation of our very own life in every way, what it does, what faith in those promises and faith in God's preservations. And you may want to claim Psalm 16, verse 1 here today. And say, preserve me, O God, because I put my trust in Thee. You see, what happens is when you put faith in the Bible, a promise, you're actually putting faith in the person who gave that promise. And faith sets God always as your protector in front of your enemies. You see, faith applies the promises that God gave to quieten our heart. So now, God, You be my protector. You be my preserver in this life. You see, God's people were more dear to Him than kings of this world. And if you're facing something here today and you think you're all alone, I'm here to tell you, you're not. Because you're more important than any king on this earth, any president of this planet. And you see, God shows us this time and again through His Word. I'm thinking about Job, so let's go there, if you don't mind. Job chapter number 1. Now, when things are going well, a sermon as such as this might not be that much of encouragement to you, but as you think about Job, he was a man blessed of God, wasn't he? Had a beautiful family. Good health. Successful in every way. But as you read the Scripture, you'll find that God had preserved this man. In Job chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says, this is Satan speaking to God. He says, "Has not thou made an," what's this word here? Hedge about it. You see, even Satan has to recognize God's everlasting protection on His people. Now, may I just say this? If God was that protective about Job, how much more we, under the blood of Christ, a better covenant? Well, I was expecting some of you to start jumping up and walking on the pews when I said that. How much more are we protected under the blood of Christ? How much more? Hast thou not made an hedge about him? Notice this. And Satan goes through every category of the man's life where God had put a line and said, nobody's going to touch this. Not Satan, not your boss, not your neighbor, not your honored brother-in-law, not your whoever. No one's going to touch this in your life. Now, there is a prerequisite for God's protection. You want me to tell you what it is? Obedience. So don't think you're going to live a life your way and not have God's provisional protection over your life in every way. Now, if you're dealing with something, that doesn't necessarily mean you're out of God's will. But that's another sermon for another day. Now, let's go through this. Verse 10. Has not thou made an hedge about him and about his what? House. Now, is there anything more important than the place where you live? Not necessarily the physical structure, but the people that you live with. There's nothing more important than that, is it? How many of you get worried about your children? Maybe your grandchildren, extended family? You see, in God's Word, in God's mind, in God's spiritual economy, even Satan had to recognize that God had put a lock and chain on any danger getting into this man's life. He says, "Has thou not hedged him about?" So Job himself was hedged and preserved. Then he talks about his house. And then he went on to say, and about all that he hath, and get this, on every side. That was not one thing. Job's sheep had protection. His granddaughter's tricycle had protection. God's Word says every side. You may think I'm being ridiculous, but I'm telling you, God's Word said He had protection and preservation on every side. And he goes on to say, not only have you protected him, his house, and about all he had on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands. In other words, his business affairs, he was just being touched by the blessing of God. And then he goes on to say, and the fruit of those that his hands, his substance, is increased in the land. And don't you know that made Satan mad? God has every intention of blessing His people. He has every intention of protecting His people. But if you're dealing with something here today, nothing's going to touch you until God says, okay, you can go this far. And even in that, you are still preserved. Because, let's go to chapter 2. Say, oh no, it's all being destroyed, Pastor. You don't understand. You don't understand what I'm dealing with. Listen, even in the midst of your trouble, God has drawn a line. Chapter 2, verse 6. Now, you remember the word preserved, right? You remember? It means to guard, to keep, to protect. Let's read verse 6. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but, don't you love those buts? But save his what? See that word save? You know what that word Translated is, it means to preserve. Same word we looked at in Psalms just a few moments ago. God, even in the midst of Satan attacking Job, God drew a line and said, this is as far as you're going to go. Now, if God allows those things, He will certainly give victory and He will certainly give grace. In the areas of life that we cannot find grace, that means we're believing in a lie. Because God gives grace for the things we do face, not for the things we might face. David said, blessed are all those that put their trust in Thee. And we should rejoice. Rejoice. You see, it is God's providence of preservation that protects and guards all within and all that we have without. And one bit of worrying is not going to help it one bit. When the revelation of God's sovereignty has enlightened a doubtful heart, he then is liberated from a mental and emotional change because that person stands confident in his Father's love. And I'm going to tell you, when you're facing some things, it's hard to get those emotions under control. And I have found in my own life, sometimes it may take a day or two to keep going back in that Word of God. Getting back in there, reading those same promises, claiming those same promises. You say, well, that makes me a bad Christian. Oh, no, no. How many times did Jesus have to go back in Gethsemane and pray? 3 times. But the fact is, He did go back. Where do you go? Where do I go? Where can we go but to the Lord? Where can we go? You see, are you in need of God's pitiful mercy today? Well, guess what? He's still the Father. You see, are you in need of peace? Where He's still the Prince of Peace. Are you in need of pardon today? Or He's still the great forgiver? Are you in need of His presence today? Well, He's still Emmanuel, God with us. Are you in need of some sovereign control of things and matters in your life today? Well, He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Whatever you need for Him to be today, He will be that. Do you need salvation? Where He is the Savior. Let's pray. Father, there may be some here today who needs a shelter. We know that Christ is still the city of refuge. Father, we ask today that You help us to ever trust in Thy providential preservations of all that we are and all that we have, within and without. There are some here today looking at health issues, relationship issues, financial issues, direction for life issues, whatever the case may be. Blessed are they that put their trust in Thee, because Thou defendest them. Father, may You work as only You can work. May we claim Your promises today and hang on until victory comes, because victory is sure, because Christ arose and is at the right hand of God the Father, sitting in power to this day. Father, whatever the need may be here today, may You meet it, because we know You can. Help us to trust and faith You for it. For Thy glory, in Jesus' name we pray.